Welcome to a special edition of the 155 Election Podcast, the Ward 8 Hamilton City Council by-election. Episode 162.
Philip Bradshaw, you are running for City Councilor in the Ward 8 by-election. Welcome to the 155 Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Philip Bradshaw. I live in Ward 8 on West 4th. I grew up in Hamilton. I went to Huntington Park, Armstrong, as well as I did 2 short years in Hill Park. At the age of 15, I ended up moving out of high school just from bullying, and wasn't a very enjoyable process for me, unfortunately, school. So I took a summer job at 15, and I've never looked back since. I've traveled all over Canada from Edmonton, Calgary, BC, Newfoundland, all different kinds of sales jobs. Eventually, I did come back around 25, 26 years old. I had a lot of family that was sick, so I came back to see them and wish them off. 27, I actually started a business called Bulletproof Heating and Cooling on Concession Street. A couple years later, I started another group, community group called Concession Street News, which is very dominant in the Hamilton area now, up to 38,000 followers. We've done bowling tournaments. We've done scare contests. I've chaired the street festival and chaired on the BIA. That was many years ago, but what happened, had our firstborn child. She's turning 10 this year, which is also my campaign manager. So I decided to sell my business and become a consultant for HVAC across Canada, doing it from home so I could take care of my daughter and keep my wife happy at the same time. In 2022, I did come out for a spurt on Concession Street and painted a mural and sponsored a mural for the Tie Cats in the city of Hamilton. And then more recently, my wife sold her business. My kid and my wife needed me to get out of the house more because it is a part-time job I have. So they both wished me well and told me to run in the election. So I asked my family first. They said, go for it. And been 2 months in now.
Why are you running for Ward 8 Councillor and why should we vote for you?
I'm going to be here after the election is done. As I said, I've been supporting small businesses and hiring local for over 10 years. I still support and shop local and will continue after this election. My experience and connections when it comes to small businesses in the community in Hamilton, well, it's just my people and street smarts when it comes to finances and budgeting. Unfortunately, the city of Hamilton has so many different issues with when it comes to misspending that we need a logical person in council to make better decisions, quicker decisions, and more reliable and accountable decisions when it comes to taxpayers' money. So that's why I'm running.
Do you live in Ward 8, yes or no?
Yes.
What are your thoughts on residency and representation?
Residency should be at least on the Hamilton Mountain. I know there's at least 50% that are not in the ward, which it does affect some people. I mean, as long as they know the ward, they know the parks, they know the schools, they know stuff about Ward 8, then obviously they have a chance to run and welcome to. But people that are coming out of the city to run, I don't think that's right.
What are two of your citywide priorities for Hamilton?
Safety and policing is number one. From as small as a crossing guard on South Bend and West 5th that I've been emailing for a couple of years to get back. My daughter's about to go to school on her own, and that intersection is very scary. I've almost been hit there a few times. All the way up to the policing level, where not just more funding for the police or maybe more resources and listening to them more, because the crime is not necessarily gone up, but it has increased when it comes to desperation and the type of crime. When I was growing up, there was no guns or knives or vicious crimes. Unfortunately, now the crimes are becoming more serious. People are becoming more desperate, and there has to be someone that steps up that gets the crime down in Hamilton. It's just unsafe for any family to live in Hamilton the last 2 years. And my second one is quorum meetings are important. I've noticed a lot of meetings. They can't get enough people to vote on these important decisions, which cost us millions of dollars as taxpayers. So one thing I want to be is at the meeting, at doing a vote every single meeting.
What are two of your priorities for Ward 8?
Well, there's one, which I'd be open to donating some of my salary to, but a dog park would be an amazing priority. It's more of a fan favorite for dog families. Obviously, people don't have dogs, don't feel that way. We do have a dog park in Stony Creek and Ancaster, which take about 15 to 20 minutes. It would be nice if we can collaborate with Ward 8. Ward 7 work together to get a dog park, but that's more of like a fan favorite. My other priorities obviously are the roads and the safety. Bonington area where I live on West 4th, any day I feel that's the worst road in Hamilton compared to Aberdeen and Barton, which has been compared to recently. my roads are supposed to be fixed in the beginning of July, and we still have not put a shovel in the road. And the roads are really bad for our cars. Basically, roads and safety come as one, in my opinion. So again, the roads fixed, sidewalks fixed will help with people with disabilities, but also the safety when it comes to crossing guards and proper roadways so we can get our kids safely to school as well. My second priority, it's probably the crime. I mean, there's so many different priorities. The misspending obviously was my first one, which is important for many people I've talked to at the door, but crime is big. People are getting shot and innocent people are getting hurt, and we need better quality when it comes to the resources and supporting the Hamilton police. Doesn't necessarily we have to fund them a bunch more money, but we should definitely listen to them and what they're going through and understand what we can do to help out on our end as counselors.
The city of Hamilton is facing a fiscal crisis. According to the city's own financial projections, Hamilton's discretionary reserve is forecast to be down to just $1 in 2027. The city's last fiscal update was in November 2023, so none of us know the current state of city finances. In November 2026, when the new council term begins, decisions will need to be made. What are your thoughts on this coming fiscal cliff, and how do you plan to approach budgeting?
Exciting question. It's one of the reasons why I'm running. The misspending. Just read up an article that they're missing $1.2 million just alone in 2024 when it comes to rent, not collecting rent from their tenants. Consultant fees. There's 15 councillors, one mayor, and they decide to go out and spend several million dollars each year to get consultant on things that they should be making decisions on. So I think we should be able to reduce the consulting fees quite a bit. And then just the misspending and not buying local. There's so many things we can do. City of Hamilton's not broke. It's the misspending from who's in charge. It's costing the taxpayers so much money. So I feel we can cut out a lot of those expenses if I do become counselor, as well as anybody else that becomes counselor should really look into that. Just the misspending, a more logical spending. We should be able to keep the taxes low as well as increase that reserve budget.
As Ward 8 Councillor, you will have around $2 million per year in discretionary funds to allocate. How do you plan to manage these funds?
That's a great question. And I'm a big social media guy, very good when it comes to community. I've been hosting a lot of events during this campaign, so I think there should be more community events, more town hall, even an email list so we can send out people's wish list. I think the taxpayers should have a say in where they spend the money. The $2 million I'd love to allocate, like Mr. Danko did before he left Ward 8. But there should be discretion, there should be concerns in certain parts of Ward 8 that should be addressed first. And I believe the people and the residents of Ward 8 should be able to communicate with their counselor and discuss those problems to budget the $2 million properly throughout the year.
You're promising to improve City Hall. I'm feeling exhausted on this topic because I heard every candidate in the 2022 change election promise they were going to make City Hall transparent. If elected, you'll have 1 year inside City Hall before the new council term begins in November 2026. How will you use that year to prepare an action plan on transparency?
Well, that's a very tough question. I think the first issue, I've watched a few council meetings over the last month. They're quite long. A lot of tasks and things don't get moved forward in the council meetings quickly. There's a lot of argument, and I feel there's a lot of hatred between councillors, which is slowing down the process, including not having enough people in a meeting to conduct an actual vote. There's so many other serious issues. So the first step I would like to do when I become council is become friends with these other 15 councillors and mayor and get on their point of view. It's not going to just happen in council meetings. It's going to be outside of council meetings at lunches or dinners, wherever the case can be, whenever they're free, and build a bond between these councillors. When you obviously vote for the next counselor in Ward 8, I highly recommend you find somebody that can speak and get along with others, because we're going to have the same issue, unfortunately, if we find someone that can't get along with the other 15 counselors. So I think the first step is working together as council, which I don't see in the past few meetings from the arguments and other issues. And I think that'll be my first step. But promising something is going to be hard to do when it comes to fixing that completely. But just back from my other questions, reducing costs like consulting fees, recovering rent from the $1.2 million that was owed in 2024. These little things and other little things we can find that are obviously we're not getting paid for the sources that we're providing will help recoup a lot of the money that is obviously just being misspent at this moment.
October 8th, you'll be sworn into office and take your seat in the council horseshoe. On that day, council will vote on zoning reforms, including upzoning Upper James between the Link and Rymel, residential zoning reform to permit medium-density missing middle housing along minor and major arterial roadways. The housing crisis will be a literal day-one issue for you. How will you approach planning approvals, and how will you use zoning reform to address housing shortages?
Well, housing is not obviously a municipal issue. It's more provincial as well as federal. I think all three governments need to work together. I don't feel the taxpayers of the city of Hamilton are going to be able to fix the homeless issue with just our taxes alone. Raising it 5 to 10% a year is not even making a dent in the actual homeless. I believe there's over 2,000 plus homeless in the Hamilton, Ontario area now. So it's going to be a form of all three governments that I believe the council and the mayor will have to stick together to go to province and federal and ask for extra funding and extra programs to help out. Now, refer back to your question. Sorry to slammer off there. But I do believe their housing has to be built. I did look a little bit over that this morning, that question. I believe it's 12 stories or under they will want to build. I like the concept of townhouses, while it might be more affordable compared to the common house. I do like that we can fit a lot of townhomes in one area. So I definitely would vote for the townhouses over the buildings per se. But I mean, I need to read into more detail before actually voting on that. And obviously, I'll look into that at the day of council.
Let's discuss development charges. Mississauga Mayor Carolyn Parrish was elected on June 10th, 2024. She formed a housing task force that first met on July 10th and issued a comprehensive report 6 months later in January 2025. The report's action plan was implemented by a unanimous vote of Mississauga City Council. It creates deep incentives for new market affordable and family housing and has time limits to ensure developers actually build. This proves municipalities can respond quickly to housing market conditions. What are your thoughts on development charges? Do you have goals for development charge reform, and how will you approach this issue if elected?
They're putting something together, which obviously Mississauga Council is getting along much better than the Hamilton Council, because it'd probably take several years at the current council to actually put something like that together. So awesome to Mississauga. When it comes to the fees and stuff like that, I believe Hamilton just reduced it 20 or 25% for builders to do that, to start building, reducing those fees. That's actually taking the money out of the taxpayers. I'm not sure if there should be an extra cut to encourage them to build without any kind of priority with housing. So one of my main concerns is when you give a builder a 25% reduction is, can we guarantee the rent's going to be affordable? It's kind of out of our control. Once the building's built, the person sells the units or rents the units or wherever they feel is fit. So I feel if we are going to give developers a smaller fee, reduce the fees to get them developed, there should be something in place if it is going to be affordable to make sure it is actually affordable housing after the units are built. But I think Mississauga did a great job for so far for what they've put together.
Road safety is a significant issue in Ward 8. Upper James is by far Hamilton's most dangerous road, with nearly every section significantly more dangerous than average for both motorists and pedestrians. What is your plan to address safety on Upper James? Does your plan include unpopular but necessary changes? And if so, how do you plan to implement it?
There's so many different things to do with road safety. I actually had a lot of people at the door talk to me about synced lights. I'm not sure if that would actually help the safety because it'd probably make cars speed. I don't think speed bumps would be necessary the easiest thing to do on Upper James. I think there's a lot of traffic already currently on the street when it comes to rush hour. One option there always is red light cameras. I personally don't drive or have a license, so obviously they don't affect me or bother me. I know they do affect others in the city and are very furious with the red light cameras, but it might be an angle that might work to not only raise money for City of Hamilton and, you know, keep those taxes lower, but can also get people to slow down on Upper James. So that is definitely one option. The other thing that's off topic is Upper James definitely has a lot of garbage, which I would like to clean up as well and make it less of an eyesore as well, but a little bit off topic.
What's your overall plan to address road safety?
My big plan coming in here was crossing guards. I mean, I've been bugging South Bend and West Fifth for a crossing guard for 2 years. Couple emails, nothing, no response. We technically have crossing guards once every month. So crossing guards are big. I've walked through the Buchanan area. They've also told me they need crossing guards. One issue of crossing guards is obviously they don't get paid enough. Secondly, is it is a split shift, so it's a hard job. But it'd be one focus I'd be putting myself into is getting crossing guards in the right spots. Also, if there is speed bumps that are needed, I've talked to a few residents around schools that might need some speed bumps as well, slowed it down. It seems to be working that process, so I'd probably continue doing that. But a lot of my road safety that I'll be working on are actually things that people at the door have told me about. One of the main issues, at least in the Buchanan Bonington area, is that Mohawk College students tend to park and block up all the roads. So I've already committed one gentleman that I'll be doing a petition so we can get parking on one side for 2 weeks and 2 weeks on the other side instead of parking on both sides to reduce congestion on Delamar. But just one of the many things. My biggest thing is I want to listen to the residents and see what their issues are because I personally can't see everything in Ward 8 from my house. So it's going to be a team effort when it comes to road safety.
Hamilton City Council meetings. Attendance, respect, and focus are all issues. I want to ask you about one specific issue. Councillors leaving, not attending, or not focusing attention on public delegations. What expectation will you set for yourself when it comes to listening to delegations?
Well, quorum has definitely been a big thing. I've looked up on Google many times to find out how many times they had to not vote in a meeting. Unfortunately, that information isn't available. But the one, and then a few others asked me if I was going to put an office in Ward 8 if I do win. And first of all, no to the Ward 8 office. I should be in City Hall full-time, 100% to help with the Ward 8 issues as well as the community issues. Secondly, I'm going to be there every meeting. It is a paid job, so for anybody to leave a meeting or not show up in time, any other regular job, you'd probably be fired and moved on. So I don't understand why the lack of respect and accountability these counselors have, but I'm looking forward to stepping up, being at every meeting for that whole entire year. So at least I have a vote and a say as one of the 15 counselors in total, including me. Have a say when it comes to some of the drastic changes and things that need to be made in Hamilton.
Ontario's Municipal Act was amended to make mayors more powerful and more accountable as the head of council. How do you believe strong mayor powers have changed the role of councillors, and how do you see yourself effectively achieving your platform in cooperation with the mayor and 14 other councillors?
I mean, it's going to be difficult. As I said, I think whoever wins Ward 8 and people and voters should look for a person that can actually communicate and get along with all 15 councillors and mayor. It's going to be a tough battle. I personally do not like the mayor powers. It cost a lot of misspending and a lot of issues. When it came to the Barton Tiffany shelters, I mean, there should have been 15 councillors voting on that. It should have been a company that was 3 weeks old that bought shelters from Alibaba. It's kind of ridiculous, and especially when we already had so many other people providing bids and from support local and local companies, we got to stick with our local people. And I mean, I guess the 15 councillors and myself will have to work together to push things through if the mayor decides that it's not a good idea on her side of things.
What are two changes you will propose to improve city services?
Accountability is one. When something goes wrong, someone should be fired. I'm very upset that so many issues have happened. There has been no accountability, no names popped up of who made the mistake. So I think accountability would be one. The second one would obviously be better communication when it comes to residents in all wards. When decisions coming up with, especially with the building we just talked about on Upper James, I think the residents should get a little bit more time to maybe vote, do polls, whatever it does to get the community involved. Because at the end of the day, we're spending their money. So I think they should have an equal say.
What are two changes you will propose to improve quality of life in Hamilton?
Well, my wife keeps bugging me about the dog park, but, you know, we can just add that as a future fun project. But, no, the changes obviously is basically as well as accountability by keeping the taxes low. So whatever it takes to get that 8.9% down for 2026 would be my first goal, because unfortunately a lot of people can't afford another tax increase, including myself owning a home in Ward 8. I think also is working with the police closely and giving them the resources they need. Doesn't necessarily need to be funding them more money, but listening more and accommodating them as much as they can, because they are one busy crew in the last couple of years.
It's August 2026. I'm writing a review of the 4-year council term that's just ending. What 3 words do you hope I'll use to describe your 10 months as a city councillor?
He was very loud.
What experience has most motivated you to seek a seat on Hamilton City Council?
Well, I ran 9 years ago against Donnaskelly in the by-election Ward 7. And to be honest, I never really gave it my full energy, my full attention, running two companies and having a newborn child and doing all these charity events. I just overworked myself, and I really never got to the doors or did the campaign the way I wanted. So for the last 9 years, I've been watching other campaigns, working with other campaigns in the city, and now I'm putting my 110% in. So I'm looking forward to getting much better results from my last election.
Thank you. That's the end of the question. Do you have any closing remarks that you wish to share?
Pick the right person that can get along. Ward 8's a very lucky ward. And a lot of people are upset that there's so many candidates, but you have so many different varieties of life running, from ex-counselors to ex-police officers, people from the army, media, journalists, activist community like myself. Pick the right person you feel that can get along with council over the next month so we can actually make some changes.
Thank you for joining us.